We're sorry to inform you your request for a second loan has been refused. And the board of directors up in the city has instructed us to take the farm from you. We understand your problems and wish that we could help you, but the falling price of wheat's not our concern. And the cost of operation may well be rising, but the fact is that you lose more than you earn. This Saturday morning there will be an auction underneath a cold gray country sky. And while the rest of the nation is still sleeping, they'll be bidding America goodbye.
From just south of the Great Lakes capital city, covering all of North America via satellite, AM and FM stations all across the country, and live and archived on the World Wide Web, this is Govern America. I'm Darren Weeks, your host here for the next 3 hours. Nice to have you with us as we document the crisis of our republic, the undermining of our national, state, and individual autonomy. And today's the 5th of February, 2011. Excuse me, I'm still saying 2010. I got to get out of that habit. It's a terrible habit to be in. But anyway, it's good to have you folks with us. We have just been absolutely bombarded. In fact, much of the nation has, by this massive snowstorm that's stretched over 2,100 miles. It brings back to memory in my mind of the great blizzard of 78, which when I was years ago, you know, in fact, my sisters and I still talk about that to this day, this massive snowstorm that we had, when we were growing up. So it's pretty interesting to see. We're just getting back to the kind of winters I remember. We haven't really had a real winter in a long time. And anyway, we'll talk a little bit more about that kind of stuff later on coming up here in the program. Now, a couple of weeks ago, we interviewed Clarice Ryan on this broadcast, ladies and gentlemen, and we were talking about conservation easements, the dangers of these things tying up the land in perpetuity, and there's a lot of restrictions going on property. City council all over the country are drawing up comprehensive plans for land use. The land is being mapped out for future use, for future generations. And we have a lot of these federal restrictions being put onto the land on a local level. And there's never been a time in the history of the United States that's been more important for Americans to be actively engaged in preserving and protecting our private property rights, ladies and gentlemen. Because if you lose the land, and I know I sound like a broken record, if you lose the land, you lose it all. And today we're going to have a floating format. Normally we bring up guests starting in the second hour. Because of the availability and schedules and conflicts, we're going to be bringing up our guest here starting in the first hour. We're going to be visiting with Fred Kelly Grant today of American Stewards of Liberty. Because building upon the interview we did with Clarice Ryan a couple of weeks ago, we were talking about coordination. And Fred Kelly Grant has done a lot of research, has a lot of experience about this subject. So we're going to get into a little bit more of the details about how the process is done, where it applies and where it doesn't apply, and how effective it is. And we're going to bring him up following the break here in just a few minutes, folks. Fred Kelly Grant of American Stewards of Liberty. You can get to their website at americanstewards.us. So stay with us. We're going to take the break, and we're going to be back in a few minutes. This is Govern America. I'm Darren Weeks. Don't go away.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Have you heard? Proactiv is new and better than ever. Stay tuned for a million bottle giveaway, and you'll also receive free shipping. Do you have troubled skin, acne? Well, we have great news. With new Proactiv, your acne can heal and you can prevent new breakouts from happening. Be one of the first to try it by giving us a call at 1-800-635-1053. Because we're going to let a million people try new Proactiv risk-free. Get two free gifts and also receive free shipping when you call right now. You heard it. Be one of the first to try new and better than ever Proactiv, and you'll receive a 60-day risk-free trial of the new Proactiv, two free extras, and free shipping when you call 1-800-635-1053. This is our best radio offer ever. Get your risk-free 60-day trial of new Proactiv plus free shipping. That's right, free shipping. This offer won't last long. Call 1-800-635-1053. That's 1-800-635-1053.
The Grainmaker Grain Mill. Handmade goodness since 1999. Handcrafted stainless steel and high-quality alloys. There has not been a finer grain mill made right here in the great state of Montana. Hand-operated, the grain mill does it all. Wheat, corn, peanut butter, rye, rice, coffee, beans, flaxseed, all grain types. Make your own gluten-free flour. Experience the satisfaction of providing wholesome, nutritious foods for your family without additives or preservatives. Each mill is handcrafted with manufacturer's lifetime warranty. To order your grain mill, call us at 1-800-724-2719 or go to our online store, republicbroadcasting.org. Take a look at why this grain mill will be passed down through generations.
Govern America. Fred Grant obtained his BA from the College of Idaho in 1958, majoring in history with specialization in constitutional history and law. He then attended the University of Chicago School of Law. He served as law clerk to Chief Judge Bruhn in the Maryland Court of Appeals. He first worked as an associate at Lord Bissell and Brook, a Chicago law firm representing Lloyd's of London. He continued to practice law in the District of Maryland, where he was an assistant United States attorney. He later became Assistant State Attorney of Baltimore and then Chief of the Organized Crime Unit, State's Attorney of Baltimore. He spent his remaining time in Baltimore involved in criminal defense. He later moved with his family back to Nampa, Idaho, where he and his wife were both raised. He accepted an appointment by the Idaho governor as a liaison with the federal agencies and eventually served two of Idaho's governors in various roles. He's been a hearing officer in zoning issues for over 30 years and has helped cities and countries write land use plans protecting property rights. He works closely with the Owyhee County, Idaho, and I'm sure I butchered that name, I apologize, where he developed the coordination strategy now being taught across the nation as a way for local governments to have meaningful input into the federal and state decision-making process. He has worked with Stewards of the Range since the early 1990s as a consultant and the litigation chairman. In 2006, he was selected as the board of directors to serve as president. In July 1, 2009, Stewards of the Range merged with the American Land Foundation, creating American Stewards of Liberty. And he continues to serve as president of the new organization. Anyway, Fred Kelly Grant is joining us today on Govern America. Fred, thank you so much for being with us.
Good morning, and I'm glad to be here. I've looked forward to it ever since we were contacted.
Yeah, you know, you got quite an impressive legal background here, and I wanted to start by having you give a little bit of your, besides obviously the law degree, were you a rancher?
No. I was born in South Carolina, and my mother married my stepdad, and we came out to Idaho. But no, I was never a rancher, never had anything, any connection with ranchers except through my dad, who had a service station and was a mechanic in Owyhee County. You did pretty good on that, by the way.
Oh, good. I'm glad to hear that.
He knew the ranchers out there, and so we became friends over the years. A lot of them have their kids go to school in Nampa, and so my kids met theirs and were friends, and I was friends with a lot of them, but I had no background in ranching at all when I was called in to help Owyhee County about 18 years ago.
Wow.
I had to learn a lot fast because the Bureau of Land Management was about to put them all out of business out in that county. There are 180 family ranches out there. There's only one big corporate ranch, that's J.R. Simplot. His isn't a ranch, it's a feedlot. But all of the ranchers in Owyhee County are really family ranchers where the families have been on the same places for 150 years.
Mm-hmm. You know, it seems to be very apparent. We talk a lot about this on this program, the property rights and the onslaught, just the absolute complete attack by the federal level, all the implementation that's going on of these international controls that are being put by the federal government on local land rights, and you know, they're swallowing up more and more property all the time, and I know I don't have to tell you this.
Yeah, exactly. It's a land control sweep, and it's taking place in every element of our society, farmers, ranchers, people in rural counties who have pieces of land that they've held for retirement, they've held for division among their children, and now with smart growth zoning and all of these concepts that the ultra-liberal planners have come along with, they're not going to be able to do that. There's a huge, huge disparity going on in land control. As the organizations that we'll talk about, I suppose, during this time this morning, mm-hmm. have really discriminated against rural America because that's the only place left that they can control land. The cities, the urban areas, have been zoned into oblivion, and now they're taking on the rural areas. You know, before we go on, there's one thing I wanted to mention. I heard you talking about the winter. I spent 5 years, 5 winters in Chicago. I sympathize. I really sympathize with what you folks are going through.
Well, you know, it's much of the nation.
Yeah, it is. That's right.
You know, I have an aunt that lives in Texas, and she said they're getting a lot of ice down there, and they've had rolling blackouts and everything, so people down there, they're not used to not having heat. You know, they're not used
to the
cold weather at all, so it's really a shocker.
Well, I walked through a 37 below zero wind chill one morning to a law school class on real property at 7:45 in the morning, and I prayed all the way over to class that I wouldn't be called on because we had a one paragraph English, old English case to report on that day, and I didn't understand a word of the old English language, and sure enough, I got called on. Got battered around the room for 50 minutes, and I swore I would never, ever have any interest in real property or property rights or anything else. And I kept that promise until 18 years ago when friends called on me to help them out in Owyhee County. If you're interested in how I got into this coordination process,
yes.
First of all, the coordination process is just a process. Federal statutes allow local governments to take a position at the table with the federal agencies on an equal basis with regard to their planning processes for their lands. The federal agencies are ordered by Congress to coordinate with local government. And Congress has defined coordinate as meaning giving the local governments advance notice of anything they plan to do, giving the local officials meaningful input. But then the most important thing of all is that the statutes say that to the maximum extent possible, the federal agencies have to make their plans, policies, and management actions consistent with the policies of local government. It was that process that I found when I was called out there by a friend to see if I could help the ranchers. My first reaction was no. If the federal government is after your land, you might as well find something else to do. But I found this process, and I promised them that I could get them 2 years in administrative procedures. And I said to the ranchers and to the county commissioners out there, you better look for something else to do. Well, 18 years later, all 180 ranchers are still in business.
Wow.
And the county, each month, the Bureau of Land Management officials from Boise travel 60 miles to meet with those commissioners in a county seat that has a population of 60 people. Fish and wildlife the same. They come quarterly. It's a process that really works. It puts the county commissioners in a position where they can actually require consistency with their own policies. About 2 years later, Modoc County in Northern California was facing the same threat that I should say that the ranchers in Owyhee County were faced with a resource management plan that was going to reduce their grazing by 40% the day it was signed. And that plan we were able to put off for 7 years, and when it finally came out, it had no reduction in grazing.
Wow.
In Modoc County, 2 years later, they faced the same thing with the Forest Service. And they had heard about Owyhee County, so they came up, and I worked with them and went down and worked with their attorney and their supervisors. And we put the same plan in place down there. And through the years, they've lost no ranchers in the forest, no ranchers to the BLM. They've actually regained some timber contracts. And so for about 16 years, they were the only two counties in the nation using this process.
Yeah, you know, I wanted to talk a little bit about the effectiveness, and you certainly have already gotten into that. You know, Clarice Ryan, I'm sure you know who that is.
Yes, I do, yes.
She was on the program a couple of weeks ago, and she mentioned that this process is so powerful that it actually derailed the Trans-Texas Corridor from going through a community when they applied it.
It did indeed, yes. The Trans-Texas Corridor, I think you probably know what that is. It was part of the North American Treaty NAFTA superhighway.
The NASCO corridor.
Exactly. It was leading from a port. It was leaving from Mexico, going through Texas to Oklahoma, with no customs inspections by the United States, none at all. We were able to discover that it was going to begin at on the coast of Mexico, where a port city was being built by the Chinese. They would be able to divert from Long Beach and bring their ships into that port and ship their goods by Mexican trucking clear through Texas and ultimately to Canada without any U.S. customs inspections along the way. This corridor was going to go through 50,000 acres of the prime farmland in the nation called the Blacklands Prairie, which would have destroyed the agricultural economy that supported four little towns, total population of 6,000.
Yeah, wasn't it like some kind of several football fields wide?
A quarter of a mile wide.
A
mile wide.
There you go. Let's take a break here. We're already up against the clock. And, folks, we're visiting with Fred Kelly Grant, and we're talking about coordination. We're all about the solutions here, ladies and gentlemen. We don't want to just complain about the problem. We want to present you with practical tools that you can use, take back to your own community, and implement this. And so I hope you're paying attention. I hope you're going to maybe take notes and maybe get the resources we'll talk about later on in the program. This is Government America. We'll be back.
Don't answer it.
If fear strikes your heart when the phone rings, knowing it may be another bill collector, it's time for you to call Zero Debt in 90 Days. 800-477-9256. Settlements, bankruptcy, and attorneys are not the answer and may end up costing you up to 10 times more than necessary. Listen, if you're already in debt, does it make sense to get buried in another payment plan? Zero Debt in 90 Days gets you out of debt in 90 days guaranteed without a payment plan and without attorneys or going to court. Get the fastest relief from debt on the planet when you call 800-477-9256. If you have debt with the IRS, credit cards, student loans, or a foreclosure, we can help at Zero Debt in 90 Days, and we are the only organization to provide written guarantees on the results. Go to ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. That's ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. Or call now for free information. 800-477-9256. That's 800-477-9256.
What really gets in the way of your goals and dreams? Time? Money? Education? Well, if it's all of the above, Ashworth College is for you. Ashworth can help you achieve your goals by letting you study at your own pace, online, anywhere, anytime. Your computer is your classroom. With programs as low as $39 a month, Ashworth College is one of the most affordable online schools out there. Just $39 a month. Plus, Ashworth offers over 100 nationally accredited college programs, such as criminal justice, healthcare, technology, and business. You could earn as much as $300,000 more than those without an associate's degree. No high school diploma? Well, Ashworth even offers high school completion programs. So call an Ashworth Career Advisor right now, toll free at 1-866-504-8173. That's 1-866-504-8173. Or go to ashworthtraining.com.
Introducing the new Go Berkey Kit, the first of its kind portable water purification system for those on the go. The new Go Berkey system has an amazing output of about a gallon an hour. Each Go Berkey kit includes a 1-quart high-quality stainless steel system complete with a black Berkey purification element, a generic sports bottle, and a nylon carrying case. The whole kit weighs a mere 2.25 pounds. With an expected element life of around 3,000 gallons, you can refill the Go Berkey system up to an incredible 12,000 times before needing to replace the element. The new Go Berkey kit is perfect for backpacking, hiking, emergency packs, bug-out bags, international travel, car emergency kits, or for your desk at home or at work. Get your Go Berkey kit today for only $139 by calling 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719. Go to republicbroadcasting.org. The online store, it's a featured product.
All right, we're back. This is Govern America. I'm Darren Weeks. The website for this show is www.governamerica.com. That's governamerica.com. And we're visiting today with Frank Kelly Grant. Frank's website is stewards.us. I believe that's the, let me get back to AmericanStewards.us is the website, and it's linked up with ours at Govern America. Fred, before the break, you were talking about the NASCO corridor, and we were talking about this coordination process and the fact that it was responsible for derailing the Trans-Texas corridor, which was a part of the greater NAFTA superhighway system. Can you continue your thoughts?
Sure. This quarter-mile right-of-way was going to physically and geographically divide four little towns in Bell County, Texas. I mean, literally, to run right through the towns.
Mm-hmm.
It also would have divided four school districts, which were award-winning school districts under the Texas education system, would have destroyed their busing lines so that the state would have had to revise those districts, and the towns would have just become desecrated by, for example, one of the extremes that we found was that in the little town of Holland, Texas, population 1,500, the hospital was on one side of where this right-of-way would be, and there were exits off this freeway only every 7 miles. So if there was an accident directly across the right-of-way from the hospital, the ambulance would have to go 7 miles. then 7 miles back to the accident, and then 7 miles back, and 7 miles back, a 28-mile trip for an accident that was a quarter of a mile away.
Wow.
Those things had not even been taken into consideration by the state. Thousands of Texans were going to these public meetings, and you, I'm sure, are familiar with public meetings that the government agencies hold. They listen to people and do nothing. Dan Byfield and Margaret Byfield are the executive officers of American Stewards of Liberty. At the time, it was they were of the American Land Foundation and Stewards of the Range. And they called on me and asked, I've been with the stewards for many years, and they asked, can we make coordination work on state lands, private lands in state government? Well, we looked at the Texas statutes and we found one that said that the Department of Transportation had to coordinate with local government. These four little towns with unpaid mayors got together. We devised a plan for them under the statute. They called on the Department of Transportation to coordinate with them. It was the first time anybody had tried to check this huge Department of Transportation down there. They have a budget, an annual budget the size of Southwestern Airlines. They didn't object to the coordination. I went down for the first meeting that we had called, and I really didn't know whether they would show up or not, but they did. They came in to meet in the little community hall in Holland, Texas. They came from Austin, several of them, high-ranking bureaucrats. And back in the corner of the community hall, the ladies' quilting bee was going on. So this first meeting of the high-level bureaucrats and these mayors took place in this community hall with the ladies listening and then going ahead with their quilting. Well, that started the process. And through the next few months, at that time, the environmental impact statement that would approve the road's right-of-way was within a month of being released. 27 months later, it was withdrawn by the state of Texas when the Federal Highway Administration told the State Department of Transportation that we would beat them in court. They might as well back away. And they did. The governor withdrew the corridor. Today, the improvement to Highway I-35 is being made in accordance with the plan that these mayors put forward. So, you know, we found it does work. It does work in states. It does work against state agencies. And it protected those people and their entire economy down there.
You know, how many different places has this been tried, and what's the success versus the failure rate? I mean, obviously, how long have you been doing this, I guess, would be the first question.
Well, I started 18 years ago with Owyhee County, 16 years ago with Modoc County, and for 13 years or so, we were the only two counties in the nation using it. And then about 3 years ago, Margaret and Dan and I, Mike Dale is the chairman of the board for American Stewards of Liberty. He's a Texan who is a great American because, you know, he doesn't have any property involved in all of these disputes, but he's just committed his life to protecting private property. We decided that stewards should start to emphasize coordination because other things weren't working. We were helping defeat bills in Congress that would put adverse impacts on private property. But we knew that we had a Congress that was never going to pass any private property protection.
Right.
And so we started promoting and training and coordination. We now have over 125, instead of two, local governments using this. I don't know of a place that has failed. Now, I know it has failed in some places where they started and don't go forward. A Colorado commissioner asked me 2 years ago.
Hold it right there.
Sure.
One more break, longer segment. The next segment will be longer. Folks, okay. We're visiting with Fred Kelly Grant of American Stewards of Liberty, and we're talking about coordination, ways that you can kind of twist the federal government's arm to listen to your local community's needs. Stay with us. We'll be back here in a moment.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network.
because you can handle the truth.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
When I had a heart attack at 42, I was not sure what the future held. But a year later, the doctors could find nothing wrong with me and took me off all my medication. What did I do? I took a herbal mixture of garlic, cayenne, and a few other herbs mixed in liquid form. I now call this Extendovite. I would have never believed that a few simple herbs could actually change my life like they did. Now it's your turn to see what the powers of garlic and cayenne can do for you. For only $69.95 plus shipping and handling for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid, you too can begin on your path to better health. For more information, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Warning for all Gulf Coast disaster survivors. Be aware that dangerous gases are in the air you breathe. Benzene, hydrogen sulfide, methylene chloride, and Corexit 9500. Keep your body clean with micro plant powder. For all Gulf Coast residents and all who want to be healthy, hempusa.org brings you a new formulation of micro plant powder with lactobacillus acidophilus, rebuilding your immune system while detoxing the rest of your body, pulling out positive toxins, heavy metals, viruses, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Microplant powder will help eliminate these dangerous chemicals from the body used in the Gulf cleanup. At hempusa.org, we want you to try our number one selling detox product, Microplant powder. Call and order at 1-908-691-2608. 1-908-691-2608. Or visit us at hempusa.org today.
All right, we're back. This is Govern America. I'm Darren Weeks. We're visiting with Fred Kelly Grant of American Stewards of Liberty, and his website, once again, is www.americanstewards.us. That's americanstewards.us. And they also have a lot of information, including this book that Clarice sent me, American Stewards of Liberty. It's all about the coordination, a strategy for local control. And we're going to talk about this process a little more in depth as time progresses today. And also, if you would like to call in, you got a question or comment, we're going to be opening up the phone lines for anybody that wants to do that. The number is 800-313-9443. That's 800-313-9443. And, Fred, you were talking a little bit about the effectiveness of this process before the break. In case the listeners are just joining us, this was the process that helped to derail the Trans-Texas Corridor and to keep it from destroying communities that it was going to destroy. Now, of course, the federal government doesn't seem to ever give up. It seems like whenever their plans are thwarted, they just try another way. But, you know, and this is why, really, liberty requires eternal vigilance. Folks, and this is a thing. Whenever the other side is defeated in any way, shape, or form, they always are diligent and they always come back. We have to be just as diligent if we suffer setbacks, because if we give up, we guarantee their success. And this is a thing that I constantly harp on, Fred, is the persistence and perseverance that the American people have to defend our liberty. You know, these liberties weren't easily won, and they certainly won't be won back very easily if it's even possible in this technocratic age that we're living in. The other side wants to lock the land down. They want to use technology to keep the people locked down. And so this is why it's so important to pay attention and to be actively engaged in these battles. You were saying that you've never even known of a time when this coordination process hasn't worked. So basically what you're saying is it's pretty much worked everywhere that you've been involved, as long as it's being done right. Correct? Are you there, Fred? Hello, Fred.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now. Sorry
okay.
about that.
All right.
I don't know if you heard everything I said up to
yes,
that point.
Yes, I did, okay. And you're so right. Eternal vigilance is the standard, and that's one of the reasons that coordination works, is because it's in the hands of local government, which continues in a way. If the people, those of us who have to make a living, we go to public meeting, and if something happens in our favor, then we quit. And the federal government, as I like to say, is like Frankenstein's monster. It just keeps coming after you.
Mm-hmm.
Local government is in a position where it continues, and it's able to function to keep the vigilance going. A Colorado commissioner asked me a couple of years ago, where has this failed? And I said, I don't know of any place that has failed. And he said, you mean to tell me that this has never failed? And I said, no, I don't know of a place that it's failed where it's put into place right.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure it has. There's an example. You remember the Klamath Falls,
yes.
Fall of the farmers out there.
Mm-hmm.
There were four counties that surround that basin. Each of them had a so-called coordination plan that had been developed for them by a lawyer years before, but they were never trained in how to make the process work. None of them used those plans. I once spoke to the Undersecretary of Interior just before Gail Norton left office, and I was talking to Lynn Scarlett, who was the Undersecretary, and I said, Lynn, did you know that those counties around Klamath Falls, the Klamath Basin, had coordination plans? And she said, yes, we did. And I said, but none of them used them. I said, what would have happened if they had used that and insisted on coordination? She said, we would have had to go into the process. And I asked her, I said, do you have any doubt that things would have been different? And she said, no, none at all. See, the federal agencies have understood that Congress has put this mandate on them, but they don't go and volunteer that they have to follow this process. It's up to the local government to learn about it and to use it and put it in place. And that's where Margaret and Dan, particularly of American Stewards, are engaged right now in the training process for local governments.
Yeah, in the federal statute, it's important for the listeners to know for their own researches. We're talking about Title 43, United States Code, Section 1701. The
right.
Federal Land Policy and Management Act?
That's right. That's the basic. Actually, coordination is used in almost every federal statute that relates to a natural resource or to use of the rangelands or the forest lands. The
mm-hmm.
definition of coordination appears in the statute you just referred to. We call it FLPMA, the Federal Land Policy Management Act. And specifically, it's in 43 U.S.C. 1712. If your listeners just enter into Google or their search engine, 43 U.S.C. 1712, they will see the section come up that specifically defines what the agencies have to do with local government.
You know, it seems to me like every time I read a United Nations document, there's something about, federal policies, federal agencies in the different states, different nation states, coordinating policy. Seems like this is a word that keeps coming up over and over and over again in everything they write, and you can just I guess what I really have always thought when I've seen that word is grants, the feds or whatever national government issuing grants to their local governments and using that to coordinate the policies. In other words, implement the federal programs, getting the local communities on the strings, and forcing compliance by paying them through grants.
Well, that's very insightful of you, because that's the way they want to use it. But it doesn't have to be used that way. If local government can turn that around and get them to the table and make them be consistent with local policy. But you're exactly right. That's what the UN, that's what the federal government wants to do. That's what the ultra-liberal planners who have been trained in land use planning want. They want to come in, give money to the local government, and put those strings on and then control them.
I guess
we
really
found a way to turn that around.
Yeah, you know, I guess that really does a lot for the power of the local governments. If the federal government has to pay you to implement their policies, you've got a lot more power than you realize, I think.
Well, absolutely. I think that's one of the things that is one of the difficult challenges we have, is convincing local commissioners or supervisors, and this applies not just to counties, but cities, towns. In Wisconsin, for example, small towns are using coordination with the help of Jay Verhulst of the Foundation for Common Sense. They're using it to fight off the smart growth planning and zoning policy that the state legislature imposed on them.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure you folks have probably talked about smart growth zoning.
Yeah. It's everywhere.
Yeah.
And, you know, and the idea there is to curtail what they call urban sprawl.
Exactly.
And, I maintain that, Americans have lived in harmony with nature since this country was founded and before. You know, why do we need all these programs now to teach us how to be good to nature?
Well, you're exactly right. Ranchers and, you know, if the ranchers and farmers in this country and the loggers and so on hadn't taken care of the land, it wouldn't be worth the interest that the Wilderness Society and all these environmental groups have in it.
Mm-hmm.
Who took care of it for all these generations? It was the users of the land. To think that they would go out and destroy the land is just incredibly naive when you realize that they've made their living off of it.
Mm-hmm.
They have to keep it in good shape, and they have. It is strictly just a land control prospect. It doesn't have anything to do with their interest in the environment. It's land control.
Yeah.
And under the smart growth, it's, as you say, a farmer, for example, in Wisconsin, as an example, but this is true in any state where the state has tried to impose smart growth, who has 110 acres, and he's decided that all along his life that he's going to divide that among his four children. He can't do it, because he can't divide land into parcels less than 40 acres in size.
Mm-hmm.
Now that's just taking our revolutionary concepts of property and turning them on its head.
Yeah. Yeah, and once they get all the land under control and put all these restrictions on it, you know, they're not making any more land. And that's the thing that I always say is, once it's all under federal control, and once there's restrictions put on it, conservation easements and what have you, buffer zones and everything else under the sun, you know, we've lost the ability to do anything.
You're absolutely right.
And
I tell you just a quick story about buffer zones.
Sure.
In several years ago in Monterey County in California, they were doing a general land use plan. And some citizens, Monterey County is divided in two, really. The southern county is agriculture down around Salinas for a long time, until the state of California took control of all the water. It was the row crop production for most of our winter produce in stores all across the country. The northern part is tourism, Monterey and Carmel. This plan would have almost driven out the farmers out of business. So they called for me to come down and help them. I went to the supervisor, who comes from the southern half of the county, and I said, look at this plan. I said, you put a buffer zone of 250 feet along every stream of water, and you say there will be no development in that. And he said, well, yeah, we don't want people to build next to the streams. And I said, look at the definition of development. And that was a long definition, and it included moving dirt with a shovel. I said, now how are your farmers going to take care of the ditches? And he said, well, we don't want that in there. And I said, you're about to vote to put it in. And he said, but our planners have said that if we do this, the feds will leave us alone. I said, of course they will, because you're imposing worse on your citizens than the federal government can. So the land control that comes into play from the planners like the Sonoran Institute from Southern California and Arizona, the Nature Conservancy funded organizations have it clearly in their mind that they are going to control our land. And you're exactly right. When that control comes, we lose one of the two principles that the revolution was fought about.
Mm-hmm.
And they were, according to Samuel Adams, the right to life, property, and freedom of religion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, one of the things that comes to mind as you're talking about that, you know, you mentioned the farmer not even being able to turn over a shovel and dig in the dirt.
Yeah.
With this carbon trading thing that they're trying to implement. You know, I'm reading more and more about no-till farming and low-till. You know, in other words, they don't even want you to turn over the soil.
Exactly.
You know, so the insanity is just absolutely completely out of control today.
Well, it is.
Go ahead.
It is, and if you, one of the things that people will say is, what kind of sense does that make? Well, it makes sense if you look at it from the standpoint of the government, because it's land control, and that's what they're after.
Yeah, and land control is people control.
Absolutely. Land and water. If you can control those two, you control the people. One of the examples right now is the United States Forest Service. Through their travel management plans, they're closing people out of the national forests. They're closing trails and roads. They're closing people out. We're closing people out of the national parks. And one of the questions I get all the time is, why is that? Well, think about the debt of the United States to China.
Mm.
Over $1 trillion. And three times in the last 2 years, China has said to the United States, we aren't interested in your dollars. We want security for the loan. Where is the only security that the United States government has? It's in the public lands, the forests, the rangelands.
Yeah, and the infrastructure.
And the infrastructure. That's exactly right.
Yep. Yep. You know, it's funny that you mentioned that, because we've been doing a lot of programs on that very subject. We have all these foreign trade zones in the United States now, which I guess from reading and visiting with other people who've thoroughly researched the topic, you know, in order to export any goods to other foreign countries, you have to either be in a foreign trade zone or you have to be a foreign trade zone.
That's right.
As far as your business is concerned. And we got communist Chinese setting up shop here in America.
Absolutely.
You know, all over the place. And we have our governors going over there, recruiting them to come over here and buy up our infrastructure, our land. And, you know, it's going on all over the place.
Absolutely. The so-called conservative Republican governor of Idaho made a trip to China with his cabinet not too many months ago, inviting him to come over and buy land and buy businesses here. It's just insanity.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially when, you know, you gotta wonder, you know, okay, why is it that people think that communist Chinese are here to be cuddled now?
Yeah.
You know, like a little kitten. When we've known that they've been preparing for war with us for many, many years.
Absolutely. And right now, if you follow the New York Times, which I do because I like to know what the other side's saying, if you follow that, you'll see that the Chinese right now are developing their naval capacity to a point at which they can neutralize us in the Straits of Formosa. What they've done is very intelligent. While we're fighting through the Middle East and fighting war after war after war, they aren't fighting anywhere. They're building their economy to the point where we are beholden to them to over $1 trillion. We borrow Chinese money to buy Chinese products. It's just amazing that we've gone down this road. When I look at the close down of the public lands by the Forest Service and the BLM, I'm looking at what's underneath that land, the oil, the gas, coal, gold, silver still, and water. And they will, if we have to give up that land as collateral, the Chinese will control all of our public lands.
Yeah, that seems to be really a part of a main strategy here at taking down this country.
I think it is.
And overthrowing, you know, and it's not something that just Obama has done, because there's continuity between both the Republican administrations and the Democratic administrations.
Absolutely.
There really has been no major real shift in policy. The Republicans try to pretend like they're a little more in favor of our rights, but really, in reality, the major issues, the major components of this whole thing has really continued unabated. Hey, we got another break coming up here, and when we come back, we'll have a shorter segment. Folks, we're visiting with Fred Kelly Grant of American Stewards of Liberty. AmericanStewards.us is the website. We're going to get into a little more in depth about coordination and what you can do to get your control back. We'll be back here in a moment.
Do you know the truth about cancer treatments? Do you realize that with all presently accepted methods, you are not correctly attacking the cancer and you are mostly fighting to survive the treatment? Do you realize that mutilating surgery, burning and poisoning of your entire system are totally unnecessary? But now it's cancer's turn to die with LaserMed Incorporated's patented methodology. Without cutting, bleeding, drugs, or damaging radiation, we can destroy skin cancer and breast tumors of any size without adverse side effects at our physician's office. Laser technology at its best. For more information, visit www.lasermedinc.com on the web. That's www.lasermedinc.com.
Call now, 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528. Introducing IXL Anti-Friction Metal Conditioner. IXL works at the molecular level to reduce friction by penetrating into and bonding onto the microscopic openings of the walls of ferrous base metals. The surfaces become smoother and denser, and this reduces the heat, friction, metal expansion, and wear caused by moving metal surfaces. The benefits are reduced maintenance activities and cost, increased fuel efficiency, and prolonged equipment life. It will not clog filters, pipes, injectors, or supply lines, does not build up or accumulate upon itself as do many other additives. IXL does not contain moly, PTFE, or graphites. Also offers the tremendous benefits of being non-toxic. It's used for a friction reducer and performance enhancer in gas or diesel engines, transmissions, automatic or standard gearboxes, turbos, electric motors, outdrives, lathe, and cutting applications. Go to republicbroadcasting.org, then to our online store, or call us at 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719.
In times like these, you can't depend on the government to keep you warm and fed, but you can depend on the Vermont Bun Baker to do just that. With the Vermont Bun Baker, you'll never be in a situation where you can't cook, bake, fry, boil water, or heat your home all at the same time. One of the most revolutionary cook stoves, wood stoves ever, the Vermont Bun Baker is available with or without soapstone veneer, a natural stone that retains heat and radiates it back into the room once the fire is out. A beautiful addition to your home, the Vermont Bun Baker has an efficiency rating well above 75% and qualifies for the wood stove tax credit. For more information, watch the Vermont Bun Baker on YouTube and live stream, or visit us at www.vermontwoodstove.com. You can also reach us by calling 1-866-SOAPSTONE. Don't ever be hungry or cold because the power's gone out. With a Vermont Bun Baker, all you have to worry about is what's for dinner.
And mercy more than life.
All right, we're back. This is Govern America. I'm Darren Weeks. I get this from Janan in Texas. She says, I was a guest on an RBN show with Mark Anderson when worlds collide on October 17th of 2009. And she says, and I praised and told about Mr. Grant and AmericanStewards.us, their organization, and what a wonderful thing they did in Texas. She says, American Stewards has many victories to show for their excellent work. So we have one listener out there, Janan in Texas. As I'm sure there are probably many who are familiar with Fred Grant and American Stewards, and so their hats off to you, Fred. And folks, if you'd like to call in, by the way, it's 800-313-9443. That's 800-313-9443. We have another hour here with Fred, and later on we'll get into some other things here on the program, but. And also, by the way, if you'd like to send me a message during the program, it's radio@governamerica.com. That's radio@governamerica.com. As we continue on here, you know, I want to get back to the subject of coordination here, Fred. What specifically, you know, we were talking earlier about the federal grants and how the federal government uses these things to kind of control local governments and implement the federal policies on a local level. There's a lot of communities, in fact, probably most larger cities and larger governments with higher population areas have already taken federal money in many respects and have modified their comprehensive plans to implement Agenda 21 in their local areas. When you have these types of plans already drawn up, how effective can we be at you know, controlling the city councils and the townships and whatever else, what other local governments, when you already have them accepting grant money? Do you have any ideas on that?
Well, one of the problems, you've just said it, that where the, especially in the urban areas, the city councils and the county commissioners and so on can be one of the worst enemies of the people. One of the ideas that I had with Nick Drenius of the Goldwater Institute was to promote a state statute that requires city, county, and local government to use the coordination authority, whether or not they've got a general plan that is consistent with federal policies. That bill passed. We wrote it. It passed in Arizona. And then the American Legislative Exchange Council adopted it as a model statute. The statute passed the Montana Senate yesterday. It's been introduced in Washington, in Kansas, in Montana, in Idaho. It's a statute that will say to the urban areas, if a citizen comes to you and says, we're petitioning you to use your coordination authority, the local government either has to use it.
Hold it right there. We got to take a break. We'll continue here in a moment. Stay with us.
The next